welcome to a brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the one, the only Reverend Godfather, a.k.a. the Martinsburg Madman, a.k.a. this show's frontman and main host. With Four State Comic-Con Hagerstown 2024 being less than 2 weeks away, we are kind of setting our Lost Media Monday aside for a Road to Four State Comic-Con Hagerstown 2024 episode. And in this episode, we're going to kind of continue a theme because one of the guests that's going to be at Four State Comic-Con this year is Tara Sands. And she, not only is she known for playing or voicing Mokuba in Yu-Gi-Oh! She also voiced several people in, along with several Pokemon in the Pokemon series. So, in honor of her, or in a way, kind of to continue a theme or share a theme, we are going to share with you the interview we did with Michelle Knotts. Now, who is Michelle Knotts? Well, you might not recognize the name like many voice actors, though some people might recognize pretty much Roger Bumpass. Sorry, I'm mispronouncing his name. Roger Bumpass, who voices Squidward in SpongeBob. Some people know Billy West for voicing Fry and many other characters. A lot of folks tend to not know who these names are. And some people might know about legendaries, again, like Billy West and Tara Strong, who voice a lot of legendary people. But there are still many people out there who don't know who voices their favorite characters. So that leads me again, who is Michelle Knotts? Well, Michelle Knotts voiced, in the original Pokemon series, Jessie. That's right, one of the iconic duo, one of the iconic duo from Team Rocket, she voiced Jessie. So, first off, I want to say,
prepare for trouble!
Make it double!
To protect the world from devastation!
To unite all peoples within our nation!
To denounce the evils of truth and love!
To extend our reach to the stars above!
Jesse!
James!
Team Rocket, blast off at the speed of light!
Surrender now or prepare to fight!
Me out, that's right, let's...
Then, I want to say, George, hit the button that has the audio for the interview attached to it, please. Thank you.
We'll be right back with more of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast.
Hello, folks. We're back at the Winter Pop Culture and Comic Wonderland in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. I'm here with the one and only Michelle Knotts, and who's more well-known for her character Jessie in the recent inclinations of Pokemon. Right. Can you give us say a few words?
Hello. Hi. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me on your podcast. It's a pleasure. Pleasure to talk to you guys.
I know, at least on your... I don't really put much stock in IMDb, but how'd you become a voice actress to start out? It said something about winning a BAF contest.
Oh, right, yeah. In 2003, the Big Apple Anime Fest, which they haven't run it in a few years now, it was at the Marriott in Times Square in New York, and they were having a contest. They called it Anime Idol, kind of like, you know, like American Idol kind of thing. So we had to prepare a monologue, and then we had to match, do dubbing, like match to flap and stuff like that. And then they had some other little contest things, and I won my first role as Hajime Yagami. Miyagi in the world of Narrowway. So it was a short little 12-episode series that was done by Central Park Media. They're not around anymore either. But, yeah, so that's kind of how I got my start into it. I was a theater major, and I studied radio and television broadcasting. I was working at MSNBC, but, like, I hate news, and I hated working there. So I was looking for something different. And theater can be tough, you know, especially on Broadway and everything. The competition is fierce. So I decided to pursue voiceover, and I got a vocal coach, and I made a demo, and I mailed it out everywhere, and now I'm here today.
Did you see... being Pokemon, did the folks who put that out approach you, or did you go for a general audition?
I started voicing Jesse at season 9. So what happened was they were changing where they were going to record it, because it was originally at 4Kids, and then they changed it to Taj Productions. That's all like legal stuff that I don't know anything about. they were having auditions to recast the show, so I auditioned for like all the ladies, you know, all the ladies came in, auditioned for all the ladies, and I got Jesse. So I started at season 9, and now we're on season 20, so I'll be doing this for almost 12 years.
It's because I've seen some of the folks who've been listening for a while know that I watched the documentary Know That Voice. Is Jesse considered a legacy character because you took it over from someone else? If so, thoughts on some voicing what can be considered a legacy character?
Yeah, it happens a lot. A lot of voice matching is usually done in the voiceover world, because you know, like for what is it, the Clone Wars? Like they're not gonna get Ewan McGregor to play Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, they get James Arnold Taylor, who sounds very similar to him. So it's the same with like Han Solo or Luke Skywalker. You know, it's tough to get Harrison Ford or Mark Hamill or you know Carrie Fisher for Princess Leia. So they have voice matching for that. The same thing happened with like Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, One Piece. A lot of times they'll switch studios due to whatever issues they're having with the current studio that they're working with, and you know these things kind of happen. So I tried to work my butt off and sound to close as Rachel as I could. The original voice was Rachel Lillis, so I tried as hard as I could.
I know that. There are toys of Jesse out there, some floating around. I know from way back listening to podcasts myself, the person, the voice actor who voiced Lionel, once told in an interview that seeing himself as that character and voicing,
yeah.
He had a blast going to toy stores and you know. Voicing that character, in the Lion-O voice, oh, you want to buy that character. Have you done that yourself, pranking people?
Yeah, they're mostly for the we call them the creatures, mostly for the Pokemon, so the plushies that they have, so... if there's like a Piplup out there or a Prinplup or something, like it's me. So yeah, going into the store, I actually have one at home, which is funny. So it's more so the creatures than like the human characters. So yeah, they talk more like the plushies. People want like the plushies more. So yeah, it's cool. It's awesome.
And also, according to IMDb, you voice a lot of video game characters aside from the Squirtles and so forth. One of the things I've been hearing. A little bit and through the pipeline. I didn't get to ask Phil Lamar that much when I saw him briefly a few months ago. Do you know anything about the voice actor Gil strike in regards to the video game aspect of things?
Right, yeah.
You don't have to, for whatever I'm going to say this, for whatever legalities there are out there, just if you want to gloss over them, that's fine. You know, just kind of mention because I haven't heard that much word about it. Just if you like, just go into it in reference to why there was threats of a strike and so forth and so on in regards to that.
Right. Oh, they actually are striking.
It went to a strike. I know he said that they were going to renegotiate, but
I think they're still trying to. If you Google it, it's an interesting read. You should really look it up. Like, just Google it, and they are actually striking now. I think they interviewed actually Phil Lamar. I remember seeing him on a video on how I can't remember. remember which news article it was or which news company it was, but I know they interviewed Crispin Freeman and Phil Lamar and a few other people I can't remember. But yeah, there's a lot of mixed feelings about it. A lot of people are saying like, oh, well, you get paid like, you know, $200 an hour, you should be fine. But people don't realize that when you work on a video game, you work on that video game and then that's it. You're done. Then you have to audition for the next video game. Like, this isn't like, you know, I guess it's the same with film, but even though it pays like a lot more, like you work on a movie. So the movie's like 2 hours. So you're filming for a year, maybe 2 years, and then that film stops and then you have to work on the next film. So like video games are kind of the same. Like we voice the video game and you're either paid hourly or like a buyout for it, depending on, you know, what they negotiate in the contracts. And, you know, then that's it. Then you have to audition for the next game that comes out, you know. So, like, a lot of people don't understand that it's like, you know, we're not making, like, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a month per video game or anything. Like, we're constantly, you know, auditioning and working. And because auditions, you don't get paid for anything. Like, you don't get paid for auditions at all. So, voice actors don't get residuals.
They don't. Think with a lot of the cartoons and out there, they
Video games specifically. I'm sorry.
I was about to say with TV shows. I don't know about Pokemon, but TV shows like Simpsons and I guess stuff like that, and movies and TV, you get residuals. But yeah, with video games, that's what was kind of explained to me. With video games, you don't really get the residuals as you do with TV and movies and so forth and so on.
That's a different. Yeah, it's they're all different mediums. Like whether you're doing like commercials, and it's even different. Like commercials for radio, commercials for TV, animation, video. Like they're all in their each different sections. It's hard to explain.
Billy West said that when he does his infamous Eminem commercial, they do exist. Eminem, Mars has to come up to him and say, listen, we're going to reissue that commercial. You were in it. We have to pay you. We have to give you the residuals. We have to redo the contract with you. So there's difference with that. So for the folks at home, Michelle is nodding here, but it's just me explaining it to you guys at home, what a little bit of the legalities. Yeah, we're glossing over it, but still there's that aspect in regards to it.
Yeah, there's a lot more detail that goes into each separate contract, each individual commercial or animation or video game. This particular strike is video game specific. Like, it doesn't have to do with animation or commercials or movies or anything like that. It's just video game specific. Especially the ones like Call of Duty, like anything to do with like soldiers, and you're like, because there's a lot of screaming, and one of the negotiations that they're trying to work out is the fact that you're screaming and screaming and screaming, get down, shoot him on the floor, you know, for hours and hours and hours, and you're not getting a break. So that really puts a lot of vocal strain. This has never happened to me yet, knock on wood, before. But like, people have like bled through their throat, throwing up in the booth, you know, because their body can't handle it anymore. Like, you know, you can't keep continuing screaming for hours and hours like that. You need certain breaks, water. You know, you should separate the sessions into multiple days. Not just, okay, so we're going to have an 8-hour session today of you doing nothing but screaming in Call of Duty. It's like, what? You can't do that. So they're trying to have it, you know, split up into separate days, which makes sense to me. It's like, okay, we know you got to get the game done and the deadlines and everything, but you can't, like, put so much strain on a person like that. So, this strike specifically is for video games. So, not, any of the other mediums.
To get extras to help, what Phil kind of said at the when I spoke to him briefly, there was a line behind me, you can't really talk too much.
Oh, okay.
Especially in a larger, obviously, you know, larger cons. It's kind of hard to do something like this. And from what he said, it's doing all that screaming, and part of what I heard it's with someone like Phil and yourself going from who have a contract with someone, a company like Pokemon or a show like Pokemon or Venture Time or you name it, the countless TV shows that are out there.
Yeah.
This is your steady job.
Right.
And doing all that screaming, you still, there's no medical, or where you might get medical with a steady work environment like Pokemon or that sort of thing. So they need that extra fundage. So it, I'm glad to know more. Thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like, Google it. It's a really interesting read, and you could find more details about it than, you know, what I can give you right now.
For further details, use your advanced Google Ninja skills or whatever you want. I know this might not be a direct. It's going to be more so your opinion. What are your thoughts about, like, more Asian animation versus the American style?
Oh, okay. So I think
what I'm asking is because obviously you're watching the show as you're recording your lines. I think in some cases, right?
Oh, are you talking like more dubbing versus prelay, or
why not both?
Okay. Okay, so dubbing is you're taking a show from a foreign language and replacing it with your language. So generally with those, we record separately, like we're each individual in the booth by ourselves, and you're constantly looking at the monitor and looking at a script, because in your headphones you hear a series of beeps. There's three beeps. It goes beep, 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 and then we call it the fourth phantom beep, you start speaking. And that's what the time coder does, is puts in the time in and out that computers, yay! So you can put into Pro Tools, it's nice and easy, and we start talking. So they can, like, stretch it or shrink the line in order to make it fit inside the flap. We're very meticulous in the United States, which is funny, about lip flap, because if you watch a lot of anime, a lot of times they don't really care about the lip flap, and they'll go off, and the mouth will still be moving or not moving. But with prelay, for something like Futurama, The Simpsons, things like that, they record the voices first, animate afterwards. So sometimes they could be in like a group setting. Some, I think maybe the Venture Brothers recorded together as well, like in a big room, as compared to like dubbing, where you usually record separately. Sometimes they'll do prelay separate. It depends upon like what the producer and director want to do, what they're more comfortable with, what they're used to working with. So yeah, but generally, So prelay, if you know, prelay is animated after, record the voices first. Dubbing is, it's already animated, and we have to record the voices afterwards. So with Japanese anime, I think it's geared a lot more towards teenagers and adults, where you could have themes more like The Walking Dead, where, you know, is more for like an adult show. And a lot of American cartoons, which there is like a good amount of violence in, like Batman or Superman or something, I think is geared more towards younger audiences, because like anime can also deal with relationships, which I think in American animation they don't like dive into as much as they do in anime. So I think it's there's different restrictions.
The best way to kind of describe it would say American animation is more Victorian in theme, meaning that it's kind of held back, and where in some of the Asian or European markets, it's anything goes. Let's do it. If we need to run up over a person with magma, let's run over. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, here in America, well, not so much with like the cable channels, but with the local channels, you got like NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox. There's a thing called standards and practices.
The censorship is more restrict.
Right. Like for the local channels, not so much like the cable channels like Cartoon Network. The local channels have standards and practices where they're a lot more strict on censoring things. Whereas in like other countries, you know, they're a little more easygoing, you know, about that kind of thing.
Yeah, I heard at one point through several people who were talking about importing Japanese animation, including shows like Pokemon, where it's, once it's imported over to the United States, half, up to maybe half or more, is cut out due to our censorship instead of European. So
yeah, that's why I think they changed Pokemon a lot in Japan as well, to try and meet more of the standards of practices here, so it can sell better, not so much heavily edited. Like, you know, no guns, no nudity, no anything like that, you know. So so it's easier. They do have to edit out, I know, like, the beginning and ending of the songs a little bit. I know they go longer in Japan, but that's because of the commercial time, too. There's a lot more commercials in the United States than there are. We like our commercials. So so they have to try and fit also the commercial time into the show. So, which usually isn't, it's not like 5 minutes long. It's usually maybe like a couple, like a minute or like, but like that much minute, you have to try and figure out where to take it out, because like even like 60 seconds of something could seem like a lifetime when you're editing it. So yeah,
I remember watching Yu-Gi-Oh! Way back in the day, coming back from a commercial, and it's like, okay, something happened, they cut something out, they cut
right.
something out,
yeah,
because something happened between A and B. Now Yugi's down 500 life points. What the hell happened? So but to kind of go back to Pokemon a little bit, recently I saw that it was kind of leaked. The first episode of Sun and Moon was leaked here in the United States.
Oh.
Will you be a... you don't have to go into details. Will you be a part of the new... dubbing the new series if it comes to the United States?
Oh, well, I can say, like, it's aired in the UK, and it's actually going to air tomorrow. So the first two episodes of Sun and Moon will be tomorrow. I'm not exactly sure what time. You can Google it. It's going to be on Disney XD. We're not on Cartoon Network anymore. So it's going to be on Disney XD tomorrow, December 5th. I'm not exactly sure what time, but you can you know, go to the Disney XD website. Which movie is it? The Volcanion movie. And they're going to show... Sorry. And they're going to show the Volcanion movie tomorrow. So, yeah, I can say that I'm in it because it aired in the UK, which is actually... So it's still English because the UK, yeah, they speak English. So my name is in there. It's in the credits, so I can say, like, yeah. So yeah, we started that up, and, yeah, we'll be moving forward.
I know this is... I'm going to ask this for the fans. Because at one point I saw... it was a meme about Jesse and James saying they were the... both people loved each other the most, but they somehow friend-zoned each other at the same exact time. Being part of the program for so long, what are your comments of Jesse and James?
It's funny because, like, I don't know, she treats him really bad. I mean, even though, like, I voice her, it's funny. I'm like, wow, she's really mean to him sometimes. But but they're funny. Like, I
but it seems like they both like each other.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's that dynamic that they somehow friend-zoned each other. You know?
I feel like they're in the friend zone. They're more like a brotherly sister type kind of love, hate kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's animated in Japan and stuff. I don't know where the writers are going to take it. I don't know where they're going to go in the future from here. Like, none of us know that. Like, they don't tell us anything.
But the thing is, from what I hear in the Japanese original, at least in the manga version,
oh, okay,
they got married, they had children, and but that's the Japanese here in the States, and I guess there's that whole standards. You can't really have that. That's that dynamic, but I had to at least ask. What about some of the other animes even though you're still working with Pokemon, what other, and you mentioned one prior, are there other animes you've done in the past?
Yeah, I can announce, I just posted this on Facebook, I'm Karina in the One Piece film Gold movie, which is going to be in theaters January 10th to the 17th. You have to Google that too, because it's only in select theaters, it's not in like all movie theaters, you know. I think they did that with the Dragon Ball Z movie too. It was only in like select theaters for a certain amount of time. So that's exciting. That's going to be coming out. I was Ogiyoe Chika in Genshiken, Koyuki Asagiri in Could You Be Gan Balanced. Who am I? Chōun Shiryu in Ikitosen, Tomoe and Airi in Queen's Blade. Video games, I was Elisa Boskanovic in Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Lilia Sotome in The Guided Fate Paradox by NIS America. And lots of other things. You can Google me. I'm at michellenotz.com. I'm on Facebook, Twitter. It's just Michelle Knotts. I think I'm like the only Michelle Knotts out there. I don't know.
According to IMDb, yeah, you are. Oh, as far
cool.
as
I'm. Okay, cool, nice. So, yeah, you could, like, you know, just Google my name, and I update the website frequently. So I got, I list all the conventions that I'm going to be at, the new things that I'm working on. So, yeah, check it out.
Do you have any favorite conventions to go to, or anything like that, or want to talk about conventions?
I love all the conventions I go to. I'd like to do more West Coast, because I've been, like, from Maine to Florida, you know, all the way. I've done all, like, East Coast conventions. So I'd like to. I did go to San Japan in Texas in September. That was September. That was a lot of fun. So I'd love to branch out more to, like, the West Coast conventions, which would be really cool. So, yeah, everybody, like, kind of knows me on the East Coast. So I'm like, I need to get out there more. So I'd love to do more cons out there. Like California, better weather.
Well, let's see. Is there anything else I wanted to ask? No, that seems to be about it. I think we talked about voicing Jesse a lot, a little bit. I guess I could ask one little extra question about Jesse. Have you put your little spin on that character after replacing the role from the previous?
I try to keep, well, above all, we have to listen to our director. You know, whatever the director wants, we have to do. So we read the lines, and if the director wants to change it up a little bit, make it a little more serious, a little more goofy. Also, it depends on, like, the animation. See, like, Prelay, you have a lot more freedom than dubbing. Like, dubbing, you have to, you know, watch the character, what are they doing, their facial expressions, and you have to match that. But, like, Prelay, you have a lot more freedom because, like, they animate afterwards. So it's like, if you want to read a line, like, really crazy and zany or something like that, then they can animate to it. So Prelay, you have a little more freedom, and dubbing, you kind of have to do what's on the screen. So you work closely with your director on how you want, you know, the character to be portrayed, but at the same time, you have to see what's going on in the animation first. So that's why we usually watch it first, and you, like, we'll watch it in Japanese and then go back and record it in English. So yeah.
One last thing. Any word for the folks at home or listening that want to break into the voice acting business? Any advice or?
Yeah, the most important word that they say in voice acting is acting. So so it's good to, like, do community theater, do, like, theater at your school, if you're like high school or college, get involved with, like, the theater programs, or, like, even, like, the radio, like, all schools have radio stations now, and everything is all digital, so, like, learn how to do that. I would say a lot of people have home studios, learn how to edit, like, learn computer programming, not like IT computer programming, but, like, editing software.
Like Audacity, right. Or just an audio GarageBand,
right.
And so forth and so on.
Yeah, learn how to use the editing software, because a lot of times people will say, oh, do you have a home studio? Can you record this audition at home? So you don't have to do a lot of traveling, which helps. So I would say, yeah, definitely in school, take those kind of classes. Like, learn editing, learn acting. And that'll help you out for, like, the beginners in high school or college to start out. Yeah.
Again, thank you. I have your business cards from Chris and all that. I'll let you know once the episode's posted.
Thank you very much.
And now, the Long Coat Mafia Podcast.
It's a Long Coat Mafia Podcast!
You screaming up.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this interview we did with Michelle Knotts from way back in 2016, and that was maybe about a little more than a year and a half after we started this show. Now, I'll say this, if you have any questions, comments, or what have you, you're more than welcome to put them in an email and send them our way at longcoatmafia@gmail.com, or leave those questions, comments, or other on the platform that you're listening to on, whatever that might be. And if you're listening to us on Podbean or Good Pods, don't forget to hit that follow button or subscribe button. Or if you're listening to us on Podbean, which I know most of you do listen to us on, don't forget to hit that heart button. And don't forget to hit that to leave us a comment too in regards to what you thought of this interview from 2016. Now, like I said, we are on our road to Four State Comic Con, and if you cannot make it to this event for whatever reason, we're not going to judge you. But if you have any questions for someone like Tara Sands or Roger Bumpass, please leave them. Send us that email with those questions so we can bring them to these folks and we could ask them for you. One of the things we do is we always ask these folks in regards to if they don't mind answering questions for us. And if they're willing to do so, we'll ask your questions for them and we'll tell them, hey, these are not our questions. These are your questions, questions from our audience. So if they are willing to answer them, we'll be more than happy to tell them. Just send them our way. Again, just put, like, in the subject line, questions for the voice actors in Hagerstown or Four State Comic Con, FCC, and we'll be happy to do it. Send them our way. The email, again, is longcoatmafia@gmail.com, and put them up on our Facebook page. All our social media links are in the description down below. And also, if you want to, again, to reiterate it, because most of you listen to us on Podbean, leave that question or your questions in the comment section or the review section, and we'll get to it. We'll bring those questions with us. And again, don't forget to hit that heart button. Don't forget to hit that follow button, because it's one of the best ways you could support our show. And as you probably found out, Google Podcasts is no longer a thing. Please, if you ever listen to us on Google Podcasts, or for whatever reason, you're the Apple Podcasts or what have you, Spotify is not being the best podcast platform, or you have to pay to hear our podcast, because there are some platforms like Audible and Amazon that require you to pay them a service fee to hear us. So if they do that, listen to us on Podbean or Good Pods, especially Good Pods, because we don't really have a following there. So please do rate us and everything else. Good Pods is available on all platforms. If you want to support this show financially, we do have a tip jar. We do have a sponsor. It's Dubby Energy Drink, and feel free to buy a tub. Use LCM Podcast in the description, in the coupon code, and you get 10% off. So do that. They have some great flavors, some great merch, and they cost about the same as G Fuel, and they're just as good, if not better. So give them a try. And yes, we do betray our sponsors by drinking G Fuel. Why? Because they have cans. And until Dubby comes out with their cans, we will be drinking G Fuel. But as soon as we get the cans from Dubby, and when they're released, we'll be drinking Dubby straight from them. So till then, just remember two things. One,
looks like we're blasting off again!
And
I'm a gamer. I'm wearing a bikini.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.
Oh, these double hinged. Neat.